Genesis 8. We'll be looking at the rainbow this morning. Whenever anybody sees a rainbow, young or old, men or women, they all get excited when you see it. I've been in other nations. I've been in third world countries. Horrible things going on around. Things that man just thinks are terrible. A cloud goes over and you see a rainbow hung in the sky. And even in those heathen nations, it's like, ooh, look at that. You see a rainbow? That's something. He's giddy on the inside. To the science-minded, they see a rainbow. And it's the refraction and the internal reflection of light through water droplets. That's what they see. To most of the world, it's just a natural occurrence. That's something that happens. To the religious people, to the Pharisees, to the theologians, the rainbow is a promise that God will not flood the earth again. And that's true. That's what it is. But oh, it's much more than that. It's much more than that. As we've been going through Genesis, first we saw Christ the light. That's Him. And we saw Christ the firmament. He's the covering, is what the word means. An atonement. He's the Lord our righteousness. He's our firmament. We saw the tree of life in the midst of that garden. That's Him. As that bride of Adam. Adam was put to sleep, and out of his side, a rib was taken. His bride was made from that. We are brought out of Christ's wounded side. Our life, our holiness, is from His wounded side. Christ, our second Adam. He's the woman's seed, the promised God-man that'll crush the head of the serpent. He's the lamb slain that covered the nakedness of Adam and Eve. He's that lamb slain that Abel brought as his offering. Not the works of his hands, not something that come out of this cursed earth. He brought Christ. That's what He brought. We've been looking at the ark as a picture of Christ. God punishes sin. He will by no means clear the guilty. He's holy. He's just. And all those outside of the ark, they perished. They died. All those inside the ark, they never felt a drop of water. That ark bore all the shame. It bore all the guilt. It carried it. It carried them. That's what Isaiah said. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Christ was that ark. Who's that hour that Isaiah was talking about? Those found that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord, just as Noah did. Those commanded by the Word of God, and the power of God, and He enables them to enter that ark. Come to Him. Enter in by the straight way. And He puts them in there, and He seals them in that ark. Those outside of the ark will perish. There's some anthropologists. Those are people that study cultures and things, and so a couple of them are working on their PhD. They got to come up with something new and write a book about it. And so they researched how many people were on the earth before the great flood. And the results were a big range, but they estimated anywhere between 750 million people and 4 billion on this earth whenever the flood came. There was a remnant. 8 people sealed in that ark, pitched in that ark. That's the blood of Christ we saw. A remnant was saved by His blood. That rainbow here, it's a token. It's a picture of God's covenant of grace in Christ. Christ is all and in all. He said, Moses wrote of Me. Paul wrote to Colossians and said, in whom? In Him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If we're going to have any true wisdom, it's going to be in Christ. If we're going to have any knowledge, if we're going to have any understanding, true understanding and knowledge, it's going to be in Him. That's where it's hid. You who believe, we see and we're amazed by these pictures of Christ throughout the Old Testament and these parables that we see and these miracles that He performed. To see Him in those, we're amazed by them. But we need to have more than just our minds exercised. There are times when we see something that we've never seen before. I never knew that. And boy, it's exciting, isn't it? We see those pictures and shadows of Christ, isn't it? But you can't hug a picture. You can't hug a shadow. We need to be blessed in our hearts by this. That's my prayer for each of us today. Not just a dry, cold, dead fact that you can take through logical deduction, take a systematic theology and get you a checklist and say, yes, well, this must mean that this was Christ, and this must mean the cloud sin. Yes, okay, and this is accurate. I want you to see a person. I don't want it to be cold. I don't want it to be dead. I don't want it to be dry. I want you to see him. I want to see him. See him one more time. Noah was in the ark for right at a year. And all the provision he needed was in that ark. And the Lord told Noah to come out of the ark. He said, come on. And when Noah come out, he built an altar and he worshiped God. We'll probably come back and look at this next week. But he didn't seek food. We've got to find some place to plant some crops. He didn't seek water. Is there any wells around here? This water that's in these little puddles ain't good enough to drink. He didn't seek shelter. He worshiped God. It says in there in Genesis 8, verse 20. Genesis 8, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Who did he build it to? Unto the Lord. And took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Clean sacrifices. They were without spot or blemish. There's no guile in their mouth. All picturing Christ. All the turtle doves, all the bullets, all the lambs throughout the Scripture. The clean, clean animals that picture him. And these types, it took many. Noah took a male of each, of all the clean animals. In the person, the man Christ Jesus, it was once. These sacrifices happened over and over, but with him it was one time. They had many things to offer, to burn. He offered himself. We read in Hebrews 7, it was speaking of those high priests that throughout time offer these sacrifices over and over. To offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he, for this Christ, did once when he offered up himself. There in verse 21 it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. The margin says a savor of rest. What's a savor of rest? A finished work. When you go rest, when you quit working. If you still got some work to do, it ain't no time to be resting. He smelled a sweet savor of rest. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. What's a sweet savor? Now we saw before, 2 Corinthians 2. We saw before that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then a little bit later, the Lord told Noah about it. We saw the thoughts of the Lord. And here the Lord said in his heart. He didn't speak this out loud to Noah. He gave it to his prophet Moses to record. But he's about to tell him how he's going to show him this. But we'll see here. What was this sweet smelling savor? 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. That's what his servants do. They tell the savor of Christ. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved, and in them that perish. This sweet smell of Christ, it goes to those that are saved. And I ain't the only ones that smell it. This Christ in you, this gospel of him, of who he is, of his sacrifice. Saved people smell that. And those that perish smell the exact same smell. But it's different, isn't it? To the one we are a savor of death unto death. That ain't nothing but some man dying. And I'm dead, I'm glad I'm dead, and I don't want to hear about it. Leave me alone. And to the other, a savor of life unto life. Well, that's the only way I'm going to have life. He gave me life, and he is my life. That one that's accepted the God, that sweet-smelling savor. Back in our text from Genesis 8. I find that. I've talked to several people, and they say, I just don't want to know nothing about God. I just don't want to hear it. I don't believe it. I don't like it. I don't want nothing to do with him. And I said, you know what? I'd show him if I was you. I'm a real sarcastic person, and I'm honoring. I ought not to be. I said, if I was you, I'd quit eating meat. Because God provides for all the animals. And one time I told a man that. He's like, well, let me think about that. Huh? And he's kind of mulling it over his head. I said, you know what? I'd quit eating vegetables, too. The Lord gave the sun and the rain and grew in vegetables. And Why, Gad, you're breathing his air. I quit breathing his air. If you don't like him, you don't want to do it. Man walks around here breathing his air, eating his food, letting his sunlight hit on him, walking on his earth, and don't want nothing to do with him. And such were some of you. Such was I. What? So we're born into this earth. Here in verse 21 it says, "And the Lord smelled a sweet savor," Christ. "And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake." The curse is removed because the sacrifice is accepted. We were under a curse of sin, weren't we? That's how we were born. But Christ was made a curse for us. He was made sin for us, for his people. And he was accepted and he's seated on his throne above. And we're accepted in the Beloved, in him. At the end of verse 21 it says "for." That word is "though." It's not "because." It's "though." "Though the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done." It doesn't say not "was evil." Every man was evil. It says every man is evil from his youth up. As a fellow told my pastor when I was a young man, he said, "I used to be a rounder. I was a drunkian. I was a ruffian. I used to be a rounder." And he said, "Oh no, you still are. You still are. You that old man still in you because you're still standing. You're still breathing, ain't you? You're still one." Noah and his family, they were sinners. There's no difference. They still had that old nature. And even though they were in that ark, even though they found grace in the eyes of the Lord, they were still in this body of death. And their sins were forgiven by Christ, just like all of God's children. Ain't nothing different. And it says in verse 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." As long as he's pleased to keep this earth spinning. Why is it here? Why are we here? God has a people to call out, don't he? There's an elect remnant he must call. And he will not lose one. Oh, Brother Pink had a good article in the bulletin today. He ain't going to lose one. That blood, we will not go to glory in that day of judgment and find a defeated Savior. It's impossible. But also, what does the Scripture say for the perfecting of the saints? Oh, we're here this morning. I want to talk to the saints this morning. For your edification, to mature you, to comfort you. That's where we're in business of, isn't it? The Lord's Word, that's what he said. After the Lord destroyed the earth, he had Noah offer this sacrifice and the Lord was pleased with it. It was accepted and he said in his heart, "I will not destroy the earth with water again." He's going to destroy it. We read that in 2 Peter 3. He's going to come like a thief in the night. There's going to be a great noise and the elements are going to burn. We can remember that easy, can't we? Elements. Everything's made out of elements. Periodic table. And the earth will burn. It's made of elements. We can understand that, can't we? And the works that are therein shall be burned up. Well, if we get a hold of that. Look at all the good things I've done. It's going to be burned. What man's done is going to be burned. That ought to make a person look for the mercy and the grace of God and not works, shouldn't it? That's what's coming. Let's look at this token of the covenant. Here's what all this here took place at the end of chapter 8. That's the Lord speaking in his heart. Moses had this revealed to him, and this is what the Lord said in his heart, and now he's going to tell Noah and his family. Turn over to chapter 9, verse 8. Genesis 9, verse 8. "And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you." Those that say they made a deal with God have made no deal. Every covenant that the Lord has made throughout Scripture, he says, "I will establish. Behold, I make." It's him. He sends it. Verse 10 says, "And with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, for all that go out of the ark, to every beast of the earth, and I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. The bow of the covenant. A token. That's what the Lord said. I give you a token. A token's a sign. It's a beacon. It's a monument. Mankind throughout has taken the Lord's signs, His beacons, His tokens, and have butchered them. This is a token to the saving grace of God to undeserving sinners. The mercy He has in Christ the Ark. The salvation He's given, and man takes and butchers it. How wicked is man? How wicked is that old man that's born of Adam? Is it kind of bad? They make a lot of God's creation, don't they? Make a mockery of it. Say all kinds of horrible things. The three ladies, isn't it? Lady Luck, Misfortune, and Mother Nature. What they talk of. They make light of God's creation. Make light of the flood of judgment. Saying it didn't happen, it did happen, it happened this way. And laughing about it. Because they're on this side of it. They make light of marriage. In our day. To and fro, come and go. No biggie. You don't have to love nobody like Christ loves the church. Do what you want. Don't like it? Hang it up. They make light of Christ our Ark. These piggy banks and children's toys and wallpapers and playgrounds. Outside playgrounds. Noah's Ark. That's a picture of Christ. That's what that is. It'll be like King Josiah go through a terrible wind playground. First thing it runs through me. They never found a piece of the Ark or man would have worshipped it. So what'd man do? We made a replica in Ohio. You can go see it. You can go see a big old boat. It might be historically accurate, but they ain't got nothing done about Christ in it. You might see some animals, man's creations out there, crossbreeding and everything else. You ain't going to hear nothing of Christ in it. We went through John 3. We saw Hezekiah took that serpent made of brass. People were worshiping that serpent made of brass. They didn't worship the God that gave it. They didn't worship the Christ that it pictured. It had no venom in it, but took our venom from us and gave us life. They worshiped that piece of brass. King Hezekiah come down and he ground it to powder. He destroyed it. He called it Nehushtan, a worthless piece of brass. Why? Why did he call that? Because it says in 2 Kings 18:5, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel. Well, what about the Lord told us about that piece of brass? That was a token. It was a picture. Let it go. Worship the Lord. Man makes light of the rainbow. Picture of Christ, doesn't it? What's that a picture of in our day? It's what the picture in 100 years ago. And old timey dead fellows can't tell you this. Can't tell you young people this. A picture of the rainbow in our days, a picture of sodomy. Homosexuality, gay pride. That's what it is. That's a mockery. It's a mockery. This is consistent, isn't it? Apart from the Lord revealing Christ and giving a new heart, we take all the things of God and butcher it. It's not recorded, but I'm sure this happened. Because they ain't no different than us, are they? It's easy to look down our big long noses at people and say, oh, wouldn't ever. You get your nose high in the air. If it rained, you'd drown. Easy for sinners ain't no different. Believers ain't no different. These people here in this time know what no different. He didn't know any better. He had to be called. It's sitting recorded, but I'm sure it happened. Noah, Shem, and Japheth, they're no different believers in our day, are they? They're sinners saved by grace, just like everybody else. And I bet they were walking in a field one day. They'd been given saving faith to look to Christ alone. They understood what that ark meant. But they were walking in a field one day out there with Noah, and they saw some dark clouds rolling in, and the rain started falling. They didn't live through this once, ain't they? And they had unbelief. They probably said, "Daddy, you think God's going to destroy us again?" And Noah said, "Look, boys, you see that big, black, dark cloud? There's a bow next to it, a rainbow. God promised us. He gave us His word. We have this token that we will not be destroyed. What's been destroyed can't be destroyed again. God promised. God said when He sees the bow, He will not destroy us." What's that mean? When He sees the bow, I will pass over you. When He sees the bow, I'll pass over you. What do you think that bow represents? We read in Exodus 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night. I will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token." It's just a picture. "A token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The blood was a picture of Christ's blood. There in Exodus 12. This bow is a picture of Christ our sacrifice. Christ our substitute. God promised to Israel it was in the blood of Christ, wasn't it? When He saw the blood, He will see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. God promises to all that see that rainbow. Christ the rainbow. When He sees Christ's blood, His effectual atonement for sin, His blood sacrifice, His propitiation, His person, His finished work, He'll be satisfied and He'll pass over you. Noah stood out there, Shem and Japheth, and he preached to them out of the field one day. They didn't have no other preacher. He was their preacher. All of God's promises to the sinner are in Christ. All of them. It says in 2 Corinthians 1, "For the promises of God are in Him, yea, and in Him, amen." We looked at that the other night, didn't we? "Are in Him, verily." All the promises in Christ are truly, steadfast, amen, trustworthy. Lord said so. We just sang, "His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then, when I clean give up on myself, I'm brought to nothing, He then is all my hope and stay." Christ is that rainbow. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 6. We're all sons of Adam, born into this earth. We're all sinners. And the imagination of our natural hearts is only evil continually. And we must be brought to admit that. We must see that, that darkness, that dark cloud hanging over us. And by God's grace, we've been brought to Christ. We see that we're crucified in Christ. We see that we died in Him. We're buried in Him. And we're alive right now in Him. Because of God, unto God. We live unto Him. Serve the living God by Christ. But we still sin. Anybody tells you they don't, or they don't as much as doing it right in front of your eyes. We still have unbelief. Is God going to kill you? You have unbelief. If you don't, you're lying. You didn't have unbelief before you had belief. Now you have unbelief. Is God going to kill you? Is He going to destroy us again? No, He won't. Why not? Because of something we did? Because of our sakes? No, for Christ's sake. For His name's sake. He won't do it. For His honor, His glory. He smells that sweet-smelling savor of Christ. And He's satisfied in His heart. Our sins are ever before us. The Lord's people's sin are ever before the Lord's people. But something else is ever before the Lord. It's the blood of Christ. And when He sees that, He remembers His covenant. Man ain't got no part in this, does it? There has to be a cloud to see a rainbow. That dark black drop makes us remember there's a just and holy God we offended. We have to see what we are. That's what the Holy Spirit has to come and convict us of. It's not something we read in the book. It's something that happens in the heart. We're convicted of sin, that dark cloud of sin. And we must be convicted of sin, of our own darkness, and it'll loom over us. Just like a cloud. David wrote in Psalm 38, "For mine iniquities are gone over my head." Just like a cloud. "And a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My sins ever before me," he said. It takes a dark cloud. And Satan would have us look into that dark cloud of sin and guilt forever. You sit and get down there and get good and sad, and you just dwell on that. You roll around in it. You stay right there. Don't you look up. That's where he'd have us. But look, there's a bow. It's like Noah told them boys. You see that sin. You see that. You sit down. You feel so beat. You had your heart ripped out of you. God promised something. You didn't. It ain't in you. Look up. Look to Him exalted. Look to that bow in the sky. Here in Hebrews 6, verse 17, it says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise," that's His children, those put in Christ in that covenant of grace before time, "the immutability of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us." What's our hope? Christ is our hope. We've run to Him, our refuge. "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast." Verily. Amen. "And which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." What's that Hebrew writer getting at? Whenever we run to Christ, we run to our refuge, there's an anchor in our soul. We're grounded. We're anchored. And we know that He is sure and steadfast. And He's entered within that veil. He tore the veil in two from top to bottom. And He's the way. He's the entrance into that holiest of holies. And He's entered in there, and He's the high priest forever. He's our prophet, our priest, and our king forever. That's our hope. That's our steadfastness. Why? He said it in an oath. It's His covenant. He made it. And we can hang our hat on it. It's sure you can take it to the bank. That rainbow was proof of the acceptable sacrifice. We have boldness to enter into the holiest of holies because of it. That's a token we have in our day. They're in a tabernacle. You can go to that fake ark up there and you ain't going to learn nothing. We don't have an ark. We don't have a brazen serpent we can look at. We don't have a tabernacle. We don't have priest garments. We can go in and look at the colors and stuff. The Lord gave us a rainbow. What providence. It's been raining for days, and today's sunny. I told the children on the way here, I said, "First one, if y'all see a rainbow and tell me, and I get to see it, I'll give you $20. And every eye was looking out the windows the whole way down here. What God's providence He has. And that rainbow, we'll go back to school for a little bit. You know the colors of the rainbow? The color spectrum? You can learn it by Roy G. Biv, can't you? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. We learned that in grade school. There's seven colors. Completion. Completion. There's a completed work in that colors. And you go outside and you look up at a rainbow. You ain't got to Google it. Wait till it rains. Wait till some sadness comes. Wait till some sins over top of your head. And in the backdrop of that cloud, you're going to see a rainbow. And what's the top color? Red. Blood. He said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over you." That's the first thing the Lord sees. That's where He is. He's looking down on us. When we look up, what do we see? Violet. I ain't good at colors. Purple. Is that all right? Royalty. We see Christ our King, our Lord and our God. That's who He is to us, because of what He did. Coming out here being made flesh for us, living for His people in their place, in their room instead. It's complete. Seven colors. Made up of three primary colors. Perfection. Yellow, red, and blue. Yellow, He was made a man. All the fullness of the Godhead in a bodily. He died. And He's sitting on His throne now in royalty. The King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And that bow, it goes upward, doesn't it? It's not aimed at us. It's not aimed at His people. There's no string on it. The bow's not set, and there's no arrows in it to shoot at His people. Those that's under the blood, those that's under Him, there's no sting in it. No arrow to those that believe in Christ. It's not facing us. It says in Revelation 4:2, "And immediately I was in the Spirit," this is John speaking, "and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." Who's that? People say, "Well, that's God. You ain't going to see Him. No man's seen the Father but the Son." And they're one, ain't they? That's Christ sitting on that throne. And He sat, He that sat looked upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. What's going to be everything He sees? His work, His finished work. When He looks upon His people, beyond His throne, there in the presence of glory, what's He going to see? His finished work. His accomplishment. In Revelation 10, it says, "I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed in a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head." What's in his mind? I'll send these notes out here later. I'll send them to you. Everybody wants to. Let's turn to Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1, verse 28. "As the appearance of the bow," that's the rainbow, "that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so, after this manner, was the appearance of the brightness round about." This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. "And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake." You walk outside, you look up at a rainbow, and you can say, "God ain't going to flood the earth no more." And you can say a whole lot of truths about that rainbow. There's seven colors. Seven means completion. Three primary colors, that's perfection. But if you don't look at that rainbow, God doesn't give you eyes to see Christ and Him crucified, you ain't going to fall down on your face, and you ain't going to hear His voice. I pray we can. We can't hug a rainbow. You can drive as fast as you can drive. You can fly an airplane at 700 miles an hour towards that rainbow, and you ain't going to catch it. Why? It's a token. It's a picture. Lord, we see it, we bow to Him. When you see a dark cloud coming, when you see the darkness, the blackness of your sin, and that's all that you are, and you just can't get out of bed in the morning because you're so depressed because you know what you deserve. When you see that rain of judgment starting to come out of it, and you think that's for you, remember it's the Lord showing you that. Someone's convicted of sin. Not if they feel bad about some things, or they say, "Well, yes, I haven't kept the law." A child could tell you that. If you've been convicted of sin, God convicted you of sin. He said in Nahum 1:3, "The Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not acquit the guilty. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet." If you see that cloud of sin coming, He's kicked it up at you. It's His doing. It's Him moving on you. Whenever you hear the thunder from heaven, many say, "Whenever the Lord spoke, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." It's all, it just thundered. No, it didn't. God spoke. When you hear His voice, or you hear thunder, it ain't too common here, is it? We don't hear thunder too often, but whenever you hear thunder, go read Job 37:5. "God thundereth marvelously with His voice. I see my sin. He spoke to me because He's given me life to see my sin. Give me ears to hear His voice. Great things doeth He which we cannot comprehend." I don't see how that happened, but He did it. And when you see that bow hung in the sky, that black backdrop of sin, dark clouds, you remember God's covenant with His Son. And so it was with the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, and those in Him. And in your heart, worship Him. You ain't got to get on your knees. You're going to make a show before men, put your face down in the dirt. Right then say, "God's accepted me in Christ." How do I know? He promised. He gave His word. He swore by His name. He swore by no higher. It's all in Him. And just because you don't see rainbow, and them clouds come, it's rained for days, isn't it? We didn't see one coming down here. Nobody got $20 in that van coming down here. Just because you don't see it don't mean it ain't there. God said when He sees it. When He sees it. Well, I don't think I can see it today. It don't matter. He saw it. He sees Christ. I just can't feel. Well, shouldn't a believer see Him all the time? What if the Lord takes a mind from you? What if you have Alzheimer's or the Lord afflicts you with some bacteria and eats your brains up or something, and you can't do nothing about it? You forget who you are. You forget who your children are. He said, when I see the blood, when I see the rainbow, that's our hope, isn't it? Ain't what I do, ain't what I think, ain't what I believe, ain't how many times I go to church and I got 1,700 pastors. I said, no, it's what God sees. What He sees is truth. He sees things as they are. He's imputed to us for righteousness. It's counted. It's there already because you have eternal life. Isn't that something? Amen.